Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, folks. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Today, a fascinating discussion about a subject that that you don't really think about an awful lot, but one that is a very, very tough job to hold down, and that is being a caregiver, where you're caring for someone else who can't care for themselves. You know, the role of a caregiver, it's not easy. Physical and emotional exhaustion are common. Uncertainty leads to sleepless nights. There's constant worry about a ringing phone and what the next emergency might be happening. It makes caregivers hypersensitive, and as a result, caregivers can become sicker than the people they're caring for because of all the stress and anxiety that they're put through. And those health problems can continue for years. It really is a tough and oftentimes thankless job being a caregiver. Our guest today is a caregiving expert and an elder care advocate who is dedicated to supporting caregivers of aging parents, spouses, and other family members. And as she points out, caregivers need help and support, but very often they're afraid to ask for it. But by learning the right questions to ask and how to work with healthcare professionals, the care of loved ones will improve. Our guest is Pamela Wilson. She's based in Golden, Colorado. She has a great website for the service that she provides, but she has that rare experience that leads to supporting caregivers and aging adults through situations that often may seem absolutely totally impossible. You know what's interesting about Pam? Her mother was the family caregiver when she was a young lady. Her mom passed away when she was just 35, and her dad passed away when she was 39, and her brother passed away about a year later, so she wondered why she didn't become a caregiver. So 20 years later, she did. She became a caregiver. She switched careers. And in those 20 years, Pam Wilson has run two caregiving organizations. In one, she served as a court-appointed guardian, financial and medical power of attorney, personal representative, trustee, and care manager for hundreds of people. She was legally responsible for all of their money, their medical care, their posthumous wishes, and their estates. And she says sometimes parents expect way too much of their kids, their children. They expect them to drop everything to come and change a light bulb for them. But some of these children were attorneys or professionals who couldn't just stop what they were doing and go take care of mom. So she, Pam Wilson, was that person to many people. If mom needed something, Pam went to take care of it. So she was on call 24/7 for 20 years. 20 years of her phone ringing at 3 a.m., 20 years of going to a movie and having to leave in the midst of the movie because somebody had to go to the hospital, 20 years of being interrupted while she was on vacation. Imagine most people having one set of parents. She had 100. So it's a lot of good experience. All of her support groups, of course, is education and online because it's difficult for caregivers to physically go to groups when they care for someone who may be awake all night. I mean, caregiving is very, very difficult. So it's a real pleasure for us to have Pamela Wilson with us today. We're going to talk to Pam. We're talking about what she does, why she got into this, and what it's like and how she helps others. That's really what this show is all about, the story of caregivers. So Pam is on the line with us from her home in Golden, Colorado, where if it's a golden state, and it's a golden morning out there today, right? A beautiful day in Colorado.
It is a beautiful day in Colorado today. Amazing.
Well, you sound great. I'm delighted that you're with us. Tell us that, you know, what I've said is kind of true. It's all true, isn't it, about being caregiver?
It's very true. There's no training in life for caregiving. That's the, I don't want to say the funny thing, but, you know, our parents don't talk to us about caregiving. They shield us from caregiving, and they don't want to be a burden. And so until you get the 3 a.m. phone call, you are not a caregiver. After you get that call, your life changes and it goes upside down.
Well, What essentially do you do? I know you are listed, you know, you're accredited now as being a caregiving expert. I should point out you have a great website. It's all about becoming a caregiver, and you are credited on the website as being a caregiving expert, advocate, and speaker. So you really speak about this to groups. You are a caregiver. You've been a caregiver. You've learned from, you know, you've learned from experience what it's like to be a caregiver. Describe for me what an caregiving expert does. It's a new title for me. I don't think I've ever talked to a caregiving expert before. Okay.
I can solve all your problems, Doug.
Okay.
Basically,
good.
I solve caregiving problems. For 20 years, I have been in and out of hospital, emergency rooms, hospitals, nursing homes, memory care, homes of aging adults, and I solve problems. So it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's mom or dad are having trouble staying home and we don't know how to keep them there, or, oh my gosh, it's Friday afternoon and mom's getting released from the hospital and they didn't tell me and I don't know what to do and she can't take care of herself. All of those problems I have answers to. And so I support caregivers and also the aging adults. So there's this balance in caregiving. You're a caregiver, you've got a parent, maybe you have a spouse, and the caregiving stress is amazing between both of the parties. It's difficult. There are all these problems, emotional problems, relationship problems, health problems. The healthcare system always doesn't take good care of our elders. You know, there's not a lot of dignity. There's not a lot of caring these days. And family members don't know how to advocate. So, for example, a doctor may say, oh, your parents old. They're, you know, they're old. Let them die. They don't need that kind of care. You can't imagine how many times I have heard that from doctors in emergency rooms when I was the guardian or the power of attorney, and I'm having to say, no, I have legal responsibility. You will care for my loved one. And the problem is most family members wouldn't stand up to a doctor today. So that's how I help with medical issues, how to keep your loved ones at home, how do you choose assisted living, nursing homes, managing all the crazy things.
You know, I think it's – first off, I can't imagine a doctor saying, oh, they're old. We'll just let them die. I mean,
how
bad is that? Gee whiz. I think it's important to point out a little bit of your background because you really do. You've got a lot of initials behind your name.
Yes.
It's a list. I mean, you've got a Master of Science degree. Tell me a little bit about your background self because you're highly educated, and that's important to know. Okay.
Well, it is. My education comes from a desire to be educated. I love research. I love information. So I have a bachelor's degree from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. My master's is in organizational behavior from Colorado State. More importantly, though, I'm a national certified guardian and a certified senior advisor. And those are designations that, one, it takes experience to be able to even have the designation, and it requires continuing education. But it's a commitment to be educated and on the forefront of what's happening in the aging industry. And then before all that, my family history, my sister was killed in a car accident. I was 17 years old. Both my parents have passed away. My brother's gone. All of the things that I help caregivers with today are all of the mistakes me and my family made because we thought we knew how to take care of our parents and we didn't.
It sounds like you almost grew up alone. Everybody left you. Did you have anyone else left after your brother died?
Well, so it was interesting. I was born 9 years later, so I, in a sense, was like an only child. And
yeah.
I remember my mom being sick all the time when I was young. I mean, just constantly sick. I would, you know, see her go to the hospital. When I was a little older, I'd be the one that would get the call on Sunday night to say, hey, I'm sick. I need to go to the emergency room. And so I, in a sense, at 35, became what a lot of people are out there today. There's a group of people called elder orphans and solo agers. And there are people like me who you lose your parents and you're not married and you don't have kids. I am married now, but who on earth is going to take care of you when you don't have parents, no family, no brothers and sisters? It's a huge issue today in caregiving.
Wow. But you're absolutely right. No question about it. So let's talk about what you do. I'm intrigued by how people come to get your help. I know you're a speaker, mm-hmm. so you go out and you speak to organizations. and I know you do this a lot, but as an expert to help others, how do they get in touch with you? How do you express your help? I mean, how do you do it? And who do you do
sure.
it for?
So I do it. So the people that find me are family caregivers, and they're also the aging adults who may be having difficulty. And they'll say to me, well, Pamela, I have no idea who's going to care for me. I don't know if my kids are going to show up. So what do I do? How do they find me? They find me through my website, which is PamelaDWilson.com. And I'm very active on social media. So on Facebook, on Twitter, I have a YouTube channel that has hundreds of videos for caregivers on many subjects. I actually do a Facebook Live every day, a video where I talk about caregiving problems. And many times it's the visitors to my Facebook page who say, oh, I have a question. Can you do a video on this? And I just started, and this is kind of a cool thing, I just started a channel on Roku TV called Caregiving TV. So lots of ways that caregivers can find me.
Well, that's good. You're out there. And that's really important, because I think there are a lot of people, caregivers especially, who throw their arms, they don't know where to go to get help. And I think that probably is generally true, isn't it? Caregivers, they're like they're on their own. They know they have aging parents or a spouse or someone to care for, and they need help 24/7. But when they need help, they don't know where to go to get it. Right?
They don't. And it's a problem because, one, we don't talk about caregiving in society, and we certainly don't like to talk about, I'm going to get older and I'm going to need care. So caregivers all over the place, especially those that live in rural areas where there aren't a lot of services, there's no support, there's definitely no support groups, don't know where to go. And the internet is an easy place to find support. But then you have the trust issue. Well, how do I know if this person knows what she's talking about? How do I know if this person can help me? And I'll share a couple of funny stories. People will post in my Facebook post that I do every day, and they'll cite a problem or they'll say something because they probably think that I can't answer the question. And many times I will say, well, I think this is what's going on. You know, you're having trouble getting guardianship for your parent because an attorney did the documents wrong when they did power of attorney. Isn't that right? And they're like, yes, how did you know? I say, well, I know because I've been the guardian, I've been the power of attorney, and I know what happens that half the people out there don't know. And I can save you a lot of headache, heartache, and trouble.
Well, you're pointing out something that's very important because, as I understand it, caregivers often don't know what they're supposed to do if they're appointed the power of attorney, for instance. They don't know what that means or what the level mm-hmm. of responsibility is, medically or financially, or if they're appointed guardian or conservator. They don't know what that is. So
they have
you
no
help them
idea.
Out. You educate them, right?
I do. I actually have had people come to me. So aging clients would come to my office and they would say, can you look at my power of attorney documents? Can you look at my living will? I know my attorney wrote these and the attorney's qualified, but you know what happens. Tell me what happens. So I would advise clients, and I still do, saying, well, you know, this is in your living will. What about this? What if this happens? What happens if a medical error happens? How are you going to protect yourself? And then for the people who are named as power of attorney or guardian, they have no idea what they're supposed to do, the legal responsibilities. A lot of that is advocating. How do you stand up to a surgeon in a hospital who says, well, you know, we have to do hip surgery and this person has to be non-weight bearing and they have dementia? Do you know what happens when a person with dementia becomes non-weight bearing? They forget how to act. Even the surgeons don't know that. It's all this practical experience that I've had over 20 years with thousands of situations and hundreds of clients, probably thousands, that all these little things happen and family caregivers are shocked and they don't know what to do when it happens. That's how I help.
You point out that caregiving really is a family issue that ought to be discussed early and ongoing in all families rather than waiting until an emergency happens. Expand
yes.
on that a little bit. And is this when they know a family member is having a problem? Maybe they've been diagnosed with early onset dementia or something like that. Talk to me a little bit, because that's an important aspect you point out. It's a family issue.
Caregiving is a family issue, just as power of attorney and guardianship is a family issue. I was so fortunate in that my mom was a family caregiver for many people in our family. I went to my grandfather's funeral when I was 4 or 5 years old, and I saw what she did, and she took me to go see my grandparents and aunts and uncles who were older and ill. So I grew up with caregiving. Many family members don't. The parents don't involve their children in caregiving. They don't say, well, let's go see grandma and grandpa and see what kind of help they need. It's almost like you should train your children to care for you because that's really what's going to happen. And so all of a sudden you have this diagnosis of dementia. You're shocked. Oh my gosh, mom or dad has Alzheimer's. What do we do? People have no idea what to do. A plan has to be put in place. The situation is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. There's all this shock and surprise about caregiving because we don't talk about it as a family. And we should be talking about it as early as possible so that children expect to be involved with their parents, not be shocked that they have to do this caregiving.
You know, I wonder about things like power of attorney, issues like that. When does that come up in being a caregiver? To become a power of attorney, you need the permission of the person you're becoming the power of attorney for, don't you? Or do you?
Yes.
Does a court
do
that?
No. So let's say that I'm myself, and I obviously I'm married now, so my husband is my power of attorney. But as a parent, you want to choose who you want that person to be, and you should have a conversation with that person saying, I want to appoint you as my power of attorney. Can you also be my caregiver? Because sometimes power of attorney will just, you know, arrange care and kind of be like an air traffic controller. They'll watch what happens. It's better if your power of attorney is also the caregiver because they have to be that advocate for you. They have to know your health situation better than anyone else. So again, they can battle with the healthcare system. So it's asking a child, you know, are you willing to do this? When I need care, can you show up? Can you dedicate the time? Will you do that? Many times, believe it or not, aging parents choose professionals, and that's how I was appointed. Their children didn't have the time, couldn't do it. They didn't think they were reliable enough. They were worried that their kids would put them in nursing homes. And so they trusted me as a professional to do what they wanted. And that's really one of the most important things when you appoint a power of attorney. That person has to do what you want. So in the situations where I've battled with doctors, it's been because my clients wanted to live. They wanted care and treatment. And I did whatever it took to make that happen, regardless of what the doctors were telling me. And in most cases, I knew my client better than the doctor, so I knew they were going to recover. I knew the situation would get better, where, as I mentioned before, the doctors say, oh, they're 95, they've had a good life. Let them go. Let it be over with. Couldn't do it. Could not do it because it was my responsibility.
I would think also there are times when the person, the parent, doesn't want to give up that control that they have to someone else. I mean, they don't want to give it up. Am I right? It would seem to me that
could
happen.
They don't want to give up control of their life. So a lot of parents will resist care or resist help because
when we age,
we feel like we're losing control of everything. Our health gets worse. We don't know how to navigate the healthcare system. We're scared to death. And that's what the children don't see. They don't see that their parents are scared to death of what's going to happen. They know it's not going to get better. They have to be very comfortable with who they're giving that control to.
You know, there's so many stories here. By the way, you've written a book on this subject. And two things that's important to know, I think that are important to know. A book you've written that is a guide can be a guide to people who are listening to this show who feel that they may be facing the issue of being a caregiver themselves. But in addition, you're in Golden, Colorado. Suppose somebody is listening to us in Miami or they're in, you know, wherever, Cheyenne, Wyoming, or farther away from you in Maine. Can you be of help to them if they're not near you in Golden, Colorado?
Absolutely. I can be of help through them because I do live online support groups and I have programs. So I just introduced a power of attorney course. Next week I have another course coming out that helps aging adults stay at home and how do you do that as the caregiver. And I do live weekly question and answer sessions. So caregivers come into these programs, they receive information, they watch webinars, And on a weekly basis or biweekly basis, I do a couple of hours live where they can just come on and say, hey, I have a question. You know, in the live that I did yesterday on Facebook, I had a couple of people say, oh my gosh, thanks for helping me. So a lady named Linda from Wisconsin and another lady from somewhere else. That's the beauty of the internet. I can be anywhere. The caregivers, the aging adults can be anywhere and get help.
Well, that's good to know. I was wondering if you work like a coach sometimes. You know, somebody becomes a personal
yes.
coach and they can call you up and consult with you, you know, at will if they need help. But you're available on the internet. That's even better. But I don't know. Let me just ask you, do you work personally, individually with people by phone and things of that nature or not?
I mostly work in groups because what I find is caregiving support groups are important for a number of reasons. One is
right.
because caregivers learn from the situations of each other. So let's say that somebody has a problem and they're afraid to speak up, or they feel, and this is true, believe it or not, there's judgment in caregiving. Caregivers feel like they may be judged for saying, oh my gosh, today I hate my mom, I love her, but man, I hate how she's acting, it's driving me crazy. By
mm-hmm.
getting into groups with other people, and sharing those emotions and sharing the problems, we actually learn more, we become more confident, self-esteem increases, and the ability to solve all these problems gets better. So that's the benefit of groups. So I really prefer working in groups and through courses and programs.
So how do the groups work? Are they online?
They are online.
That.
So okay. I have a service that's called Webinar Jam. I don't know if you're familiar with webinars, but it's a live computer program, imagine that, where people get a link to click on. They go to the link and there I am live. So it's almost like the same as when I do my Facebook Live videos. I'm there talking to a camera live. It's the same thing in the support group. I'm there talking to a camera live. All of the caregivers, the aging adults, can join. They can post questions in the chat. They can come on live if they want to. And we talk back and forth, and I answer questions and share information. And then the courses, the programs, have modules. So the course that I'm releasing next week is a 10-week course on how to keep loved ones at home. And it's the A to Z of what happens, why do they leave home, what can you do about it, how do you manage it, and how do you manage all the family emotional problems where you may be the only caregiver, you've got 7 brothers and sisters, and they are not helping you. So it's the A to Z, really, of caregiving.
Yeah, that's a tough situation. I hear stories of that a lot. You know, people, well, my brother, he's in New York, my mother's in Virginia, and he can't be bothered to come down and help her, and it's me, I got to go up there every other weekend, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty common, I think. Let me also ask you about your book, because I think this is
yes.
also very interesting. It's called The Caregiving Trap. Tell me a little bit about it and where it's available.
So it's available on my website, Amazon, all the bookstores. And the name, so people hear the name and some people are like, wow, that's a bad name. But here's the thing, the name came from my clients. So my aging clients would say, oh, Pamela, oh my gosh, I am so trapped. I can't get out of this house. I can't drive anymore. I have to take 12 medications a day. My health is horrible. I feel like I am so trapped in life and I don't like it. The kids, oh my gosh, I'm so trapped. I have to go over my parents every night because they need help. I can't see my friends anymore. I'm having problems at my job. I'm emotionally distressed. What a trap this caregiving is that I didn't think about. So I didn't make up the title. I wrote the book, but the title came from my 20 years of experience and people saying, I had no idea what caregiving would be like. I had no idea what aging would be like, and I feel stuck.
Boy. You mentioned things that sound so familiar that I've heard before, and I'm sure those who are caregivers out there right now listening who hear this, they're glued to what you're saying because they know it's true. And I think they're delighted to know there's someone like you available. Anyway, Pam's website again is PamelaDWilson.com. If you go to that website, there's a wealth of information there about the book, about her services, about what she does, the many, many, many ways you help people who are caregivers. It really is a very well put together website. I also want to do me a favor. You have some
sure.
unique stories you tell. Tell me about the lady who threw you out of helping
oh my
her
gosh.
12 weeks in a row. That's a cute story.
One of my favorite clients. One of my favorite clients. So my favorite clients have been the most difficult clients. So a daughter hired me because she was a busy, you know, busy attorney to go see her mother and help her mother because her mother would call 10, 12 times a day with, oh my gosh, I need this, I need that, I need this. This woman, I went once a week for 12 weeks. She threw me out every single week. And every week when I left, I said, hey, I'm going to be back next week. I'm coming back. And finally, she admitted that she was angry that her children hired a substitute to show up and help her. And the family had not had great relationships over the years, and so they had difficulty talking about things. I learned things from her that I was able to share with her children about, you know, her regret about maybe not being the best mother. But really what she wanted their time. She wanted the daughter to take her out to dinner. So I solved all the problems with the oxygen company, the doc staff, all of that. I took care of all those problems, and she appreciated them. And I loved her. I mean, she was one of the best teachers, one of the best lessons I had in my life. But what I found over the years is the people who are most resistive are hurting the most. They have the most regret about their life. They are sad that their health is declining. Maybe they don't have good family relationships. Those are the ones that need the most love and understanding, but they intimidate people. They try to run people off. And so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't always work out the way that it did with this lady.
That is funny. My guess is that people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. they would be among the most difficult to care for. Would that be right?
Yes. It is right. And the reason it's right is because most of the caregivers are spouses. There are adult children. But if you're the spouse and your husband or wife has dementia or Alzheimer's, over time what happens is the caregiving becomes more demanding. It's more hands-on. You're doing bathing. You're changing depends. You're washing sheets every day because there's accidents. And maybe your loved one wants to take off and wander away. So what happens is you become this 24 caregiver, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, can't leave unless somebody comes to help. You feel isolated, you get depressed, you're alone. I answered a question today from a caregiver, a spouse who said, you know, I don't know how to respond to my husband when he gets frustrated and upset. He goes and locks himself in the bedroom. What do I do? And what we have to realize is the people with memory loss, they live in a different world and they're scared. If they're frustrated, it could be because they just need some comfort. They need a hug. Or maybe you've got to redirect it and say, you know, let's go for a ride. You used to always like to go for car rides. Let's go for a ride and change the situation. I liken it to, and you probably remember this, some people don't remember the show Outer Limits. You're in a different world. It's
yeah.
a new reality.
Yeah, different time zone.
Dementia.
Exactly.
Yeah, different
exactly.
time zone. You are...
Yeah. Pam, you know, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I really want to point out again, you've got this great website with all of this information on it. In addition to that, you're going to be back with us here on CUTV News Radio again next week, May 3rd. You'll be back again on May 17th. So May 3rd and May 17th at 12 noon Eastern Daylight Time here on CUTV News Radio to continue this discussion on how you're able to help people and advise them and how people can learn from you and get in touch and watch your sessions on Facebook, elsewhere. It's really important. And so I really want to thank you so much for being with us and taking the time to tell us a little bit about what you do and how you help people. It is really so important. So, but you know, I gather you love what you're doing, don't you? It's obvious.
I love it. I can't imagine doing anything else. I love it. I love it. I love it. And thank you so much. It's been my pleasure to be here today.
So great. Thank you, Pam. Our guest has been Pam Wilson, Pamela D. Wilson. Again, her website is PamelaDWilson.com. PamelaDWilson.com. She is a caregiving expert and an elder care advocate. She is a very caring lady and obviously extremely knowledgeable in this field that is so critically important. Thank you, Pam.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Well, that's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next time right here on CUTV News Radio. Until then, take care of yourself and have a great day. Bye-bye.